I think sometimes we put God in a box. We really do. Say, well, God, you can't handle this. You can't take... Well, wait a minute. Again, if He created everything, I think He can take care of it. Matter of fact, He talks about that the world's going to be His footstool. God, the world just thinks they're in control. I'm not going to get political, but these governors just think they're in control. But it's God who's in control. And God's going to get the victory. Two friends of ours co-wrote this song. Rachel wrote the words and Jason wrote the music. But it has such a great message. And when we were praying about the album that we're doing, I came this close to this being the title album. Or the title of the album. But just feel like it's something that each one of us need to remember. That we serve a God who can do anything. We serve a God who's most powerful. We serve a God who's in control. And so let me share this message, and then we're just going to get into this message, this song, then we'll get into the message tonight. And we are excited. Every day becomes a struggle when from God's word we stray. Every hour is just miserable when we don't trust and pray. Everything looks impossible when His hope is not there. Every problem seems unstoppable when we don't believe He cares. But He's done everything for me. He paid the price. He walked the hill of Calvary. All He suffered to make that sacrifice. So when I complain from day to day as I journey through this land, help me remember when I can't change anything. I serve a God who can. Every worry seems unbearable when His mercy we don't claim. For every care there's more suffering when we don't call on His name. Every mountain seems higher when we try and climb alone. Every valley just gets deeper when we wander on our own. But He's done everything for me. He paid the price. He walked the hill of Calvary. All He suffered to make that sacrifice. So when I complain from day to day as I journey through this land, help me remember when I can't change anything. I know a God who can. Help me remember when I can't change anything. I serve a God who can. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Exodus. I do not take lightly what has transpired with the COVID virus. However, I was amazed to read of a woman, and I need to download the article that I read before it gets taken off the internet, 102 years old, she had the Spanish bird flu and lived through it back in 1918. She had so many other things, and then she also had COVID-19 and lived through it. And it was amazing. Matter of fact, I was amazed to learn that the Spanish bird flu, when it came to this country, it started in the United States in Haskell County, Kansas. Now, Sandy and I are both Jayhawkers. We were born in Kansas, just couldn't wait to get to Texas. But the thing is just, it's all these diseases that we've had. I read of another one today, where 1 million people died and then they had Woodstock. You know, and just all these diseases and the panic that has taken place during this time. And I'm just amazed. I really am. And so I prayed and said, okay, Lord, how can I encourage people and remind them that our God is in control? And one passage that we've gone to different times, and you say, well, you would preach a message more than once. Well, God says a lot of things more than once. And when God leads, I'm not going to argue with God. And so I'd like for you to turn to Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 10, and we'll go back and just review real quick, and then we'll get into the text of the message. And I promise I'm not going to keep you a long time tonight. You know, I've had a lot of pastors tell me you can keep them as long as you want to, but they leave at a set time whether you are done or not. And so, anyway, we hope that's not the case tonight, but I'm not going to keep you that long. Beginning in verse number 10 of Exodus chapter 14. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And if you mark in your Bible, you might mark the next phrase, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. I need your help tonight. I don't want to say the wrong things. Honestly, I really would rather you just take over the message. And I pray our hearts would be open and receptive, and you'd encourage us tonight that even though the devil's on the warpath, and there are a lot of things that are shaping up that we've not seen before, we are thankful that you're still on the throne and that your word is still true and your promises are still true. And I pray that what a blessing to hear of people who have gotten saved just this week. And we pray there would be more who would get saved. We have heard people who have gotten saved through the live stream and through the witness of your people. We pray that continues, that this is an opportunity to share the gospel. But as a child of God, may we not be afraid. May we realize that everything's under control. We just need to continue to serve. And so we pray you'd have your will in your way tonight. And thank you for the promises of your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I want us to go back and remember that Moses was called to go to a people who, God's people, who had been in bondage to Egypt. And while they were in bondage to Egypt, this really, now I know that some people probably don't understand why I say this, but I see there were Baptists in the Old Testament. Because, and I say that, and you say, well, you're tearing down the Baptist thing. No, I'm just saying that we're just like a lot of other people. When we get our eyes off of the Lord and we get our eyes off of God's promises, we forget what God has said He will do. So the people are crying out to God for deliverance. They were in bondage because of their sin, because of what they had done. And now they're serving that bondage and they're crying to God for deliverance. So God calls Moses to go and to be the one to go before Pharaoh, who understands Pharaoh and his court and his house and his palace and everything under his rule better than Moses, who was raised in Pharaoh's house. So he goes before Pharaoh, even though he argues with God. That's another Baptist thing that we do. We like to argue with God. You know, you might as well just not argue with God, because God always wins. Amen? He really does. And so what we find here is that they cried out to God. God sends Moses. Moses goes before Pharaoh. Long story short, without going through all the plagues and everything, finally, Pharaoh, after the death of the firstborn in the house where the blood is not applied, Pharaoh finally says, "Get them out of here. You may go." So they gather up and they head out, 2 million strong, and they leave Egypt. And then the Egyptians come to Pharaoh and says, "Wait a minute. This means we have to do the work." And so they decided they better go after the Israelites, because they needed them to do the work. Now, while they were in Egypt, there had been a committee meeting with the men of Israel, the Israelites, the men there who met with Moses, said, "Now listen, don't you promise this and then take us out and then let us get captured it again and come back into captivity, because then it will be worse than the first time." And Moses gave God's promise again. So now the scene is this. Israel is traveling the direction God is leading them, with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud during the day, a pillar of cloud. And He's leading them, taking them towards the Red Sea. I would love to be able to stand in a pasture. I have felt the stampede of cattle, not of a huge herd, probably about 200 or 300 head. But I've seen in some movies when they've stampeded buffalo, and there's thousands of them. I just think back. I know I was born 100 years too late. I'd like to have been out here in this area or someplace where they had large buffalo herds and just standing out of harm's way. But to feel the thunder, the movement of the ground, the shaking of the ground and the sound of the hooves. I mean, I can only imagine what it was like. But I apply that thinking and what I have heard, I apply that to what the Israelites must have felt and heard as Pharaoh and his army began to come to take them back into captivity. And here in verse number 10, as Pharaoh was drawing nigh, they're looking at Pharaoh behind them and the Red Sea before them. The children of Israel begin to panic. I mean, you look up at verse 9, he's pursuing with all the horses and chariots, his horsemen, his army. They overtook them in camping by the sea, and they were coming. And as he drew nigh, the people of Israel were frightened. Matter of fact, if I can say this, I think they were scared to death. They already knew what bondage was like. They already knew what it was to be slaves to the Egyptians. And they didn't want that again. And their anger, it's amazing what people do when they get scared. More times than any, they get angry. And they got angry and they came to Moses again. And I wrote in the margin of my Bible, when it says the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And then it says, "And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." I wrote down behind that statement, here comes the committee again. They're coming back to confront Moses, And you see what their statement, they said, because there were no graves in Egypt, in verse number 11, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness, wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word? They remind Moses again about what they said. Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? I have a problem with that statement. If I was in their shoes and I was wanting to be delivered and had been crying out to God for deliverance, if God brought someone to bring the promise of deliverance, I think I would be pretty excited. But they said, if you're just going to do it and take us out there and then we come back, just leave us alone, we'll be okay serving the Egyptians. Is that not what happens in our lives concerning sin? Sometimes we just make a statement, well, we're okay. Just leave us alone. I'm so glad that God doesn't. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit works on us and tries to bring us around. And so I love what Moses says. And he says this in verse 13. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Man, what a promise. The first thing he told them was, fear ye not. Now, you have to understand, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I picture the Israelites at the shore of the Red Sea, the people of God at the shore of the Red Sea, and I see them dancing in their sandals. I mean, they're in place. Have you ever seen somebody that's just nervous and they just can't hold still? I have. Matter of fact, I've been that way. I just see all these people, they're so nervous because here's Pharaoh. They feel the pounding of the hooves, the rolling of the chariots. They probably hear the sound of them. I don't know if they were doing any chanting or anything as they were coming, but I'm telling you, the people of God were completely afraid and they were nervous that they were going to be taken back into bondage. And God sends a message, fear ye not. And then he approaches that subject, stand still. It's hard for us to wait on God, isn't it? Come on now, let's be honest. It's hard for us to wait on God. If we're not careful, we can get ahead of God. But we're to be patient and wait upon the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we just stand back and do nothing. We're to be busy serving God until God does something. But we're to stand still. In other words, stay in place. Stay in our place with God. Don't deviate away from our position with God or our place with God. We need to stay close to the Lord. We need to keep our eyes upon Him. That's the reason Moses said, God's going to show to you today that He's going to do the fighting for you. Boy, that must have been hard for them. That's one of those times I'd like to have traveled back in time, preacher. I'd like to have been standing off to the side, a long ways off to the side, but watching all this happen. I have a creative mind, what I do have of a mind, and yes, dear, I do have one. But I'm just saying that I think about these things, and I think about what it must have been like, and then for probably to some of them, they were hollow words when Moses said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And yet God's promise is always true. It's always true. And so God begins to speak to Moses. And in verse 15, he says, wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. I don't know if you really gather the meaning of that. They're standing at the shore of the Red Sea. How in the world would they think to go forward? They weren't looking forward to a swim. They were thinking that this is it. This is the end. And God says, go forward. So he tells Moses, lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Picture in your mind, if you would, this picture of them standing at the shore of the Red Sea. In their mind, this is it. They never would have dreamed what was about to happen. And yet their God, time and time and time again, proved himself to them. He had kept them and he'd taken care of them. Even while they were in bondage, he took care of them. And so he's protecting them. Pharaoh wasn't going to get to them unless God allowed it. And he wasn't allowing it. So now he tells Moses, just tell him to go forward. I would just love to have seen the look on their faces. Excuse me? And then Moses lifts up his rod. And all of a sudden, the waters parted. Then I'd like to see the look on their faces. And they were ready to go forward then. And they went across on dry ground. Just amazing to me. And I'm not going to get into everything about it. But I'm going to tell you, as they begin, I don't think they were walking slow, by the way. I think they were walking as fast as they could walk. They knew this was the avenue of escape. This was the way they were going to maybe be able to outdistance Pharaoh. Maybe they were going to be able to get across the other side and maybe have a chance to make a stand or whatever. But they needed to remember God said he was going to fight the battle. Every place I see it in Scripture, God told Hezekiah, God told Jehoshaphat, he told different ones, just let me fight the battle for you. Has he not promised that for us? With everything that's going on, do we not just need to say, okay, God, it's in your hands. I'm just going to trust. Are we not to walk by faith? Amen, preacher. I see that in the Word of God many times. Trust, faith, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I mean, and then we see Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith, and to see those who trusted the Lord. I think of Abraham when he trusted God, when God says, I want you to give your only son Isaac. Do you know that from the very beginning, he was willing to do what God wanted him to do, but he remembered that God had given him a promise. And he knew in his mind that if he was going to sacrifice Isaac, God would have to raise him up again just to fulfill his promise. And I love what he said when they were ready to go up to the side of Moriah. He said, "The child, we will return unto thee." I went, wow, what faith. He knew Isaac was going to come back with him. Listen, trusting God isn't always easy, but it's the best thing to do. And so the people went across. And God kept them safe while they went across. And then he removed the protection. And Pharaoh took out hot on their heels. Now, I don't know if the last of God's people were overrunning the ones in front of them as they begin to see Pharaoh coming into the Red Sea on the dry ground as they were and as he's getting closer, because I'm sure that they were panicking. See, how do you know? Because I know that's what I would have done. If I saw the enemy coming, I would have been a little panicked. I'd been a little afraid. Even though God said, don't be afraid. Say, how do you know that? Because there's been times in my life I've been that way. Even though God says, fear ye not, 365 times in the Bible, fear not. We don't have to be afraid, but we do. It's when we forget God's promises. We forget that God's still on the throne. That's the reason so many people have panicked during this time that, and I'm not going to get into political things, but I'm just telling you, it's amazing to me the reaction of people who know the Lord during this time. I'm just amazed. Of people who panicked and literally just... I went to see my mom I'll tell you about this. We went to see my mom, and I had talked with my sister about going over there, and she was really insistent upon, well, Greg, you need to wear a mask when you go see mom. I told her, I said, listen, I went to Natural Grocers in Amarillo, and I thought I'd stepped into a stagecoach robbery convention. Everybody had masks on. I thought maybe I need to go home, get my wild rag and put it on and carry my hog leg and then see what happens. But so I got this idea and I talked to a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, and he got me a disposable hazmat suit. And so a mile away from my mom's house, I stopped and put it on, put the hood up, put my mask on, and then put my cowboy hat on over the top of that. Had rubber gloves that I used for dyeing leather. And so when I showed up, I walked in wearing that and said, hi, Mom. Gave her a hug. I've got pictures to prove it. You say, you didn't take it serious. No, I didn't. I'm sorry. And you know, somebody can say, well, you should. I didn't. It's all in God's hands. If God wants to take me, he can take me anytime. But we had a lot of fun with it. And we enjoyed it. But I'm just saying people have panicked. We don't have to panic. God's got it. He has his hands on it. So we know the rest of what happened. Pharaoh, boy, don't you know, they thought they had him. And as the last one of God's people stepped out on the other side, God brought the waters all back together. And even yet today, they're still finding that area at the bottom of the Red Sea. They're still finding the chariot wheels, the bones of the horses, the bones of soldiers. They've even found royal swords and different things. I just want to say, God did it just like he said he would. My thought is this, if God can take care of them in a situation such as they had that looked like there was no way out and that they were surely going to die, I believe God can take care of us. And the blessings that God has given, I appreciated when your pastor shared about how God has blessed a friend of mine up in Washington State who I never would have believed would have done live stream. In his services, there have been a lot of fellows step out of the box on some of this and trying to get the gospel out to keep going and encourage people. His brother in Texas was watching his live stream. And I'll just make the story short. He got a call from his brother and his brother said, with what you were teaching, I began to realize my life had never changed. And he said, I got saved because of the message you preached. So my friend called me it was 8 o'clock his time up in Washington, but called me at 10 o'clock at night to tell me the good news. And you know what I did? I said, why are you calling me this late? No, I didn't. I said, man, I'm excited for you. That's exciting. It just goes to show God will use anything and anyone if we're willing. God's got this. We just need to put our faith and trust in him. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, for each of us, we're standing at the threshold of opportunity. We just need to do what God leads us to do. Honor God in our life, and God will get the victory. Father, thank you.